What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, aka the Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. As a matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com, and we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Radio personality Ed Lover. Ed, we just wanted to open it up and you know, hear about some of the things that you have going on right now.
Well, I'm syndicated on the radio across the country. I got Come On Son, the podcast that's been going on for 7 years, that's doing extremely well. Thank God.
I'm an alumni. Let's go.
That's doing extremely well. And of course, I got Ed Lover Presents, a live mixtape band, which is me and the band going across the country playing that music for grown folks that grown folks can appreciate, that grown folks can dance to. Just came off the City Winery Tour where we sold out a lot of cities. So just, you know, moving and grooving, doing my thing, getting ready to go on my stand-up comedy tour with Cousin Junior from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. So we get ready to hit that up too. So I stay busy. God is good.
So what does it look like on the tour? Like, I was listening to it. I was listening to an interview with The Breakfast Club, and I heard you speaking about it. Like, and they said you actually on the mic.
You got to see it to believe it. So I got two amazing singers, a group of young, amazing musicians. They do all the singing. I do all the rhyming. And we just go from everywhere from LL Cool J to Nicki Minaj to everywhere. We just play music, man.
I play other stuff outside of Queens, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I was gonna say,
you just got two Queens out. I'm like, boy, y'all gonna represent. Thanks for coming on the show, Ed.
Thanks for having me.
You was one of the people that was at the top of the list of that I thought would be great to debate with. And it's time to have some fun.
So I'm very opinionated, so let's go.
I love it.
Let's go.
That is on you.
All right. Hey, y'all, and welcome to That's Debatable, where we tackle the hottest topics in urban culture. I'm your host, Stanza Yvette, and joining me today is none other than the culture referee, Ray Daniels.
Buck, let's go.
Also joining me today is marketing and music executive, Brian Miller.
Thank you. Sponsored by the Earth.
And our guest debater today is none other than the legendary TV and radio personality, Ed Lover.
Oh, wait a minute. Hip-hop icon.
Okay.
Icon.
I've done everything. Radio, television, books.
Movies.
It ain't nothing stand-up comedy. Ain't nothing I ain't have my hand in. Icon.
First title. Originator of black media. Originator of... Nah, real talk. I remember sitting at the house watching, you know, the first Dr. Dre I knew was Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. I didn't even know.
Yeah, we didn't know there was a Dr. Dre on the West Coast either. So
yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was the first Dre we knew on the East Coast was Ed Lover.
Period.
I mean, it was Dr. Dre and Ed Lover, but you know, let's get into it, Sansa. What are we debating about today?
Well, I gotta get to some ground rules.
Okay, let's go.
I got ground rules that everybody needs to follow. First rule is we got to take it back to kindergarten. Wait your turn.
Okay.
Wait your turn. I understand that everybody wants to get their point across and everybody is opinionated and everybody knows this. However, it is impossible for us to hear when two people are talking at once. Wait your turn.
I got you.
All right. Rule number two is the most important rule. respect my gavel. Respect the gavel.
Respect the gavel.
Okay.
You hear the gavel, you see the gavel.
I love it. I respect the gavel. Let's go.
It's a couple reasons why the gavel may bang. One being, you probably broke rule number one. You might hear me if you're talking over each other. Or it could be me calling BS on something you just said. Or it could just be that I need to change the topic or, you know, add something to the question. However, if you hear the gavel,
respect the gavel. We know you're in charge.
All right, let's go.
We got it.
Y'all can follow those rules.
We good.
Thank you then to our viewers and listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. That's how you help us grow the show. And if there's a topic you want to see us debate or a person you want to see joining us at the podium, please be sure to drop it in the comments below. Now let's debate.
Let's go.
Our first topic is the Mount Rushmore of rap. And we want to know who is in your Mount Rushmore from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Mm. And we're going to open it up with you, starting with the 80s. Who's on your Mount Rushmore?
Groups or singular? That's the most important
thing.
It's yours.
If it's a group,
we're talking the 80s, so you have to put the group up there that broke through and made it possible for everybody to get on MTV, to get on Rolling Stone magazine. Run DMC absolutely goes on one of those, right? So you got Run DMC. You got to put the first sex symbol of hip hop up there. That's LL Cool J, who many consider the GOAT.
Okay.
So you got to put LL. So you got two more spots up there. So the 80s, the man that changed hip hop from a very aggressive style to a laid back style. The man that I say gave birth, if there's a tree of hip hop, he gave birth to Big. He gave birth to Jay. He gave birth to Nas. He gave birth to everybody that was laid back with their flow because it was super aggressive before him.
Yep.
That would be Rakim. So you got Run DMC because they broke the door down. LL because he's the first rap sex symbol and he was just nasty like that on the mic. Rakim for changing the game 100%. And there's one more spot, right? Mm-hmm. Ah, in the 80s, the 80s, the 80s.
Yeah, Rakim.
I got Rakim.
LL, Run DMC.
Run DMC, and one spot left. And that, it's either gonna be, Big Daddy Kane is in there somewhere, man. Slick Rick.
Woo!
Slick Rick. Slick Rick, because everybody that came after him, the double voices that you hear, everybody that talk, that uses two voices, Redman using two voices, Biggie. Using two voices. Everybody that used two voices, all the storytelling that you hear that's coming up here is because of Slick Rick. So that's mine right there. I gotta put Slick Rick up there.
B, you wanna get I got two out of four.
I got 3 out of 4, which is crazy.
Who you got?
I got LL Cool J, Run DMC, Rakim, and Heavy D. And
Heavy
I'll tell
D.
you why I said Heavy D.
Heavy
D. Heavy D. Heavy D made things.
I got you. It's okay.
I put respect on Hev. Hev made things fashionable. Hev made dance fashionable. He made being big fashionable. I'm not saying that the Fat Boys weren't there before that. I'm saying that Hev made it all fashionable.
He made it cool.
He made it cool.
He made it cool to be a fat dude.
Yeah, LL Cool J, Heavy D.
I got
Run DMC and Rakim, the guard, the guard MC.
All right, so I didn't put Run DMC in because we didn't do groups, right? So I'm gonna hold that off. My list was in this order, well, not even order. It's LL Cool J, first hip hop superstar.
For sure.
80s. Not Slick Rick. Rakim. I feel like Rakim was the first artist that he was like the first to me complicated rapper where you had to like listen, like, you know, like he was that. So LL, Rakim, I'm gonna go KRS-One.
KRS-One.
Can't go wrong with KRS-One.
KRS-One, the teacher.
There's no way you can go wrong with
KRS-One. The teacher, you can't go wrong with KRS-One.
You can't go wrong with
KRS-One. And then the fourth one was, hold on, so KRS-One,
Rakim.
LL, Rakim, and the fourth one to me was Big Daddy Kane.
Okay.
Big Daddy Kane was rap's first
cool
superstar. LL Cool J.
Chocolate superstar.
LL Cool, sex symbol superstar.
So LL Cool J was light skinned.
He was light skinned. He had the girls.
Kane brought black, made black dudes like, You all right if you dark skin.
Yes, Kane.
You dark skin with a fade, right? In the slashes?
What? And he had Madonna?
I'm not mad at Kane.
Not mad at Kane.
Because you didn't have Run DMC. I'm not mad at Kane.
But I just feel like Slick Rick was good, but he to me, he has the most classic album out of all four, out of everybody's name.
He does have a magnet.
Nobody has a more classic album than Slick Rick, The Adventures of Slick Rick. I just know that that's his only real classic. So that's why I didn't put him up there. But that's
You can't have a Mount Rushmore without Run DMJ, man. Just can't.
In if we were doing groups, it's different. Have it. If we were doing groups, it was different. But I didn't.
If you had groups, give me your top three.
If I had to do my Mount Rushmore of groups, Run DMC, Wu-Tang, y'all ain't gonna like my next two.
I thought it was in the 80s.
I'm just saying all time. I'm talking about all time. I can't think of four groups from the 80s.
That's why I said top three.
You can't think of four groups from the 80s?
Because no, I can, but then
a lot of groups in the 2000s. Bad groups in the 80s.
Not that you put on Mount Rushmore.
So how do you do Rakim without Eric B though? It was Eric B and Rakim in the 80s. Rakim didn't become Rakim solo until the 90s.
That's true.
It was
that's
Eric
true.
B and Rakim.
That's actually a really good
that's
point.
That's a group.
That is good.
EPMD was the 80s.
DJ Easy Rock is a group too, but I mean.
Hold on, about to do my group from the
80s. Rest in peace, Easy Rock.
Group from the 80s. Group from the 80s. Number one, Run DMC. NWA. Beastie Boys. You have to give it to them.
For sure.
They crossed over. They were like, they crossed hip hop over. And then if we had to go to 80s, shit, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go Eric B. and Rakim. That's a group then.
We're talking groups.
Let's wrap up the 80s with who you have as your Mount Rushmore of groups.
Of groups?
Yes.
Run DMC, without a shadow of a doubt. There's no doubt. Eric B. and Rakim, okay? EPMD, Eric and Parrish making dollars. And how in God's name did y'all forget Public Enemy?
Oh, my God. You're right.
You're right.
You're right.
Right. Bro, how you forget P.E.?
Right.
That's my fault.
You're right.
That was the 80s.
The P.E.
style of, and you can ask Dre this from N.W.A. This is why I put them in front of them. Because P.E. style of production is what Dre copied to do the N.W.A. Straight Outta Compton album.
And Cube.
And they did Cube's album.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you, do you think P.E. could work in 2024?
If everything was even, if there was a balance of radio and music, if it was a younger P.E., not Chuck and Flav.
Of course.
But Chuck and Flav were young.
Yeah.
Right now. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. They were that impactful.
All right. Let's go.
Go to the 90s.
To the 90s.
That's where it get hard.
Not for me, but let's go.
Brian,
you go first.
Yeah, let's do it. In the 90s, Jay. No, I'm sorry. Tupac, Big, Andre 3000, and DMX.
That ain't
and I'll say it again.
That's
Tupac,
not bad.
Big.
That's not
three
bad.
Three stacks in DMX.
Who?
That's not bad.
Who's your?
You gotta put Hov on there, man. You gotta put Jay-Z on there, man.
Jay-Z is the only
for
one
a lot of
that actually headlined.
No, I'm with you.
An arena tour.
But we talking
in the
about 90s. '90s. We'll move it. I'll go ahead and say.
That's
it.
Why every time
I move Jay.
Who your list?
I got Jay. I'll go ahead.
Jay.
Spoiler: Jay's on my 2000s list.
So, he should be on both 90s and 2000s.
I can't.
Who's your 90s at?
90s is tough, bro. Cause you gotta say four, right?
Four.
Okay. God, how do you leave off? But 3000 is Outkast. That's a group.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a group,
if I
bro.
Take him out,
no, you can't. How are you taking people out?
But I ain't taking them out. I think Three Stacks, if we're talking about the Mount Rushmore rap, being able to.
For the
rap,
90s.
I think.
They were a group.
No way.
Okay.
Are we talking solo?
And who you got?
Jay-Z, Biggie, Nas, Jay Big, Nas, Pac.
All
that's
right.
That's it right there.
Watch this. Hold on.
They're all solo artists.
I
Jay, Big, Nas, and Pac.
I'm not gonna lie to you. This one was the hardest because Jay-Z, to me, didn't define himself in the 90s. He defined himself in the 2000s when he did The Blueprint. That was when his sound got defined.
Nah, son, right after what was the second album?
No, Hard Knock Life, that was the album that he had to hit. But I'm talking about defining. Okay, so here's my 90s. Big, Pac, Nas, I gotta give it to Nas. And then DMX. DMX is probably the most.
Y'all be killing me though, son.
You gotta put X over Hov.
Yo, the first two albums Pac had out, y'all wasn't even fucking with him. I was there, my
Strictly
nigga.
For my niggas?
Yeah, niggas wasn't fucking with
Pac. I was a Pac fan.
Tupacalypse Now, the whole world was not fucking with Pac.
But I had niggas around on that.
The whole world wasn't fucking with Pac. Y'all didn't fuck with Pac until he got shot. That's when y'all niggas
not
start
true.
Fucking with Pac.
That's not true.
That's very true.
Listen, Ed, I'm a Pac fan.
You might be.
Ed, I'm talking
about the whole country with all of this, these little niggas running around with Tupac t-shirts on. I don't even know what the fuck you're
doing. Out of everybody we named, Tupac got more classic albums in the 90s than everybody
else. Pac got classic albums after he died.
Yeah, Machiavelli.
That calls him the death. It calls him that he died before he became classic.
Thug Life was a crazy album.
He was dead.
Yes.
I put Pac up there.
I know you got
Pac. You're four again, Ed.
I got Pac, Jay, Nas, and Big.
I'm putting DMX over Jay in the 90s.
You fucking bugger.
I ain't gonna lie, Ed. I would put DMX over
Jay was the headliner of the tour.
Yeah, but DMX was the force. Like DMX Leo Cohen said something. Leo said that DMX, he said that's the only artist he doesn't take credit for signing. He said, my mother would have signed him. He's everything. He epitomizes New York hip hop. He had the girls. I'm telling you, DMX has to be, to me, Big and Pac got to go over Jay. We got to admit that.
For sure.
And then I think I would give Nas the 90s over Jay slightly because I think Nas's Illmatic had more of an impact on hip hop culture than Jay's Reasonable Doubt.
Absolutely.
Of course. All right. But we're also talking impact, not just music.
We're talking about a lot of stuff,
of
though.
Of course. But that's my point.
Jay's impact was ridiculous.
It was, but I'm saying I couldn't put him over X.
Social impact?
I'm just saying impact because we didn't have
I got to say something. I got to say something. Jay-Z tells a story. Hear me out. He tells a story about him opening for X. Him coming after X.
After X.
And he says, the nigga starts off with a growl. Crowd goes crazy. Nigga comes out, he performs the street anthems. Every street nigga in there is going crazy. Then he takes off his shirt. Then he does his girl's record, and every chicken is going crazy. And then he ends it with a prayer, and he got everybody in the audience crying after he just prayed. Like, bro, that's nothing. We ain't never experienced nothing like that in hip hop to this day. DMX is probably the greatest force hip-hop has ever seen.
I'll tell you something like this. DMX is probably the greatest track, and hear me out when I say this, greatest person that can impact any track that you put in front of
him. Period.
Anything. DMX, listen, DMX could have did Mary Had a Little Lamb and the shit would have been hell. I'm serious.
Yes.
Mary had a little lamb, my little lamb, my little lamb. He could do anything.
There was nothing like him, bro.
There was nobody like him, man. Anything that you would put DMX on, he'd have killed it.
It's nothing like him. So
I still put Jay on my Mount Rushmore.
To me, Jay
was the 90s.
98, 99, 2000 was Jay.
I agree. All right. Well.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. We're going to. Okay.
The 2000s. And after you.
Oh, I forgot we got to go to
2000s. Tell me which era you felt.
I kind of want Brian to go first.
Impact.
I want Brian to go first.
Ooh, 2000s,
Mount Rushmore, and which era had the most impact?
Jay, Wayne, Eminem, and Drake. Super easy.
And Drake?
Yeah.
Drake didn't come to like 2008,
2009. Doesn't matter.
Still the 2000s.
About 2000s. You talking about impact.
We're talking about solo artists, right? Yeah, we're talking about solo artists. Okay.
2000s?
Okay.
2010s?
Yes.
Okay.
So Jay-Z, okay.
Jay-Z, Wayne, Eminem, and Drake.
Definitely,
ooh, I forgot
definitely
M.
Lil Wayne.
I forgot M.
Definitely Eminem. Kanye West, nigga. Fuck is you talking about?
Yes, nigga. Yes, nigga.
What you talking about, nigga?
Yes, nigga.
Kanye motherfucking West, son.
I stand correct.
Who's
I
your
stand
list?
Correct.
Oh, he corrects you.
I put Drake.
That's because you wearing that dumbass Boston fucking Red Sox hat. Yankees all day, my nigga. Yankees all day. Till y'all get 27 banners, don't talk to me. Until y'all get 27 world championships, don't talk to me.
He right, though. He
just
right, though.
Squeezed in his brain.
He just fucked your whole list up. This nigga Brian said,
you know what?
I'm not going to argue with Sound Logic. It is. But
the late 2000s, like little young nigga shit, Drake, automatically. I love Drake. I ain't taking nothing away from him, his impact. But Kanye motherfucking West. And if it ain't for Weezy, it ain't no fucking Drake.
I was about to say, my four.
Before you go. So then, I still wouldn't take Drake off. I would put Kanye and Drake instead of Eminem.
What?
Yes.
Eminem sold 60 million fucking records.
Yeah, but we
niggas ain't
about...
never sold as many records as Eminem streaming ass, nigga. Okay, so his streams can't even count to Eminem's sales.
Okay, I'm with you on that. But longevity-wise, who's lasted long?
Who M! Eminem is still moving units, yes.
Yes, Eminem has lasted.
Hell yeah.
This is why that's the
debate. Eminem is on the... Hold on, I will give you my list. Here's my list of my four.
Go ahead.
My four for the 2000s is Wayne, Nelly, Ye, Hov.
You put Nelly on the Mount Rushmore?
Nelly, the only nigga in the 2000s that's in.
Who you take off? Who I had on my mouth? I can't remember who I had on my mouth.
He sold 10 million records first album.
Eminem did too. Wait a minute. Whoa. 50 Cent. Back on that gangster shit. Get Nelly the fuck out of here. Over fifth?
I can't put Nelly
over fifth?
Okay, you're right.
Over Curtis?
I switched my list. Okay, I get you're right. No, you're right. That's why you need an OG at the table. You can't put him over fifth.
I feel like when Soulja Boy jumped up on the Breakfast Club,
Drake?
50? Oh, Nelly over fifth?
Which?
You're right.
Okay, to wrap up the segment, y'all got...
What era?
10 seconds each.
The era that sums up hip hop is the 90s. No era is more important to our culture today than the 90s.
No question.
You agree?
I agree 100%.
Perfect.
Because your MTV Raps came on in 89. And we told shit the fuck up through the 90s. So, of course, I'm going to agree with that. If we came on in 80, 81, I'd have said the 80s. But it was definitely the 90s. The 90s was the culture.
You agree? Okay. That's one thing y'all can agree.
Yeah, we got.
Yeah, the 90s impacted everybody. It shifted everything. Whereas the door was starting to be open in the 80s, the 90s, when the 90s came through, it went international.
Yeah, we arrived.
In the 90s. They were doing, the 80s was doing United States tours, the 90s was doing international tours.
Agreed.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So Dr. Umar recently said that Eminem couldn't be an icon or impact the culture because he was a white man. What's your response to that?
I did say something about that on my podcast. And with all due respect to Dr. Umar, because when I first said something, I disrespected him. It was like, who kind of fucking doctor are you anyway? But then I looked it up and he is actually a doctor. But I disagree with that because I don't think M is not ever going to be the greatest black rapper ever. But we did rap. We opened the door of hip hop for everybody. We had a whole lot of Latino brothers and sisters, Hispanic brothers and sisters involved with rap. If you look on, you know, TikTok now, you see people from other countries that are great at hip hop. So I don't agree with that. I think Eminem is a cultural phenomenon and Eminem is a rapper and he just happens to be white. He's dope as a motherfucker. Half the people out here rapping can't rap as good as Eminem, so.
I gotta challenge him now. I gotta challenge you. Here's why Eminem can never be in my top 10. Because Eminem did not have to play by the same rules that everybody he's competing with had to play with. Every rapper, every black rapper had to make a girl record. Even DMX said, what these bitches want from a nigga. Like, let's not act like every, that's not a part of the.
Rhonda, Shonda,
it's not,
Keisha,
it's not act
Alicia,
like that's not a part of it.
About three Eminem kids.
Eminem never had to make a girl record. He never had to make a club record. He never had to make a record, even when he made a record dedicated to his mama. And in our community, it was disrespectful as fuck. Yeah. No black rapper can pull off the songs and the way he pulled them off. So that's why he not.
So he did get some white privilege.
He is a great rapper. And by the way,
he's an amazing rapper.
He is an incredible rapper. But
he's incredible.
It's kind of like when you say Shaquille O'Neal, you don't never say he's a great basketball player because he was 7'1", 350 pounds. He was just dunking on niggas.
Most dominating. Like,
Eminem is one of the greatest basketball players that ever played.
That's my point, but it's because of the way he played. I just can't give Eminem number.
He's not putting him in his top 10.
But yeah. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why I disagree with that. Because you got to understand that he was white, so it was already gimmicky, right? We knew it. It's like, all right, you white. We get it. You're a white rapper.
Vanilla cool. Ice was gimmicky.
Right. But the thing of it, him being white was the anomaly. Right, he still had to fight through it with good songs. He still made songs that we will remember forever.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm putting him in the list. Yeah. I agree that he's white, and I agree
he got those. He got some white privilege. Like, he did get away with shit that black artists could have never got away with, especially burying his mother in the video.
Like,
and
like
all
you
that.
Stupid bitch, I hate you. Like Tupac said, even though you was a crack fiend, you were always a black queen. In our community, we do not play about our mamas. He did not play. All I'm saying is Eminem didn't play by the same rules everybody he competed against. So when you ranking him above somebody else, just remember Jadakiss had to play that game. Jadakiss, every rapper had to play. He was the only one that didn't.
But you know how we look at, no disrespect, but you know how we look at kids and different races and we're like, oh, if you were black, your mama would have slapped you in the mouth. Okay, that was his culture though. Like they do talk crazy to their parents. They do talk crazy about their kids and their mamas and things of that nature. So I feel like all those records that you said he sold, that played into it because people could relate. But I still I don't think it diminishes it.
Okay, I mean, he just ain't in my top 10. He can't be. Like
I don't even have a top 10, so yeah, that's a whole nother. A whole nother thing right there. We'd have to go through these errors again to have top 10s. I don't have one.
That's real.
Right.
Let's go. Next one.
Next segment. The question is, has hip-hop done more damage or good?
And by the way, this is triggered by Dr. Umar. This is his. He's out here saying hip-hop has done more damage to our community. So honestly, you being an OG in hip-hop, MTV Raps, man,
yeah.
The question is, you really?
Percentage wise, I don't even know if the answer to that. I'm not going to say hip hop has done more damage to the community because I'm a living testament of hip hop doing good for the community. I put kids through college and got master's degrees, and that's all because of hip hop. I got on the radio and television and done films and books because of hip hop. And I know a lot of other people that's doing the same thing. A lot of these podcasts come from cats that were involved in hip hop in the game. I've seen people pivot off of rap careers, like my man Tracy Lee today. Every chick he's an attorney, and it's because he was able to pivot off the money that he made off of hip hop. So I wouldn't say hip hop has done more damage to the community than good. I wouldn't say that. I would say it's probably. Hip hop has fucked the community up.
A little bit.
More than a little bit, but I wouldn't say more so, because I think the problem with it now is that it's so fucking one dimensional, right? And these kids are listening to it and they're taking it to heart. Whereas they're not, I don't see them growing out of it. I see them kind of staying in it. Like we grew out of it. Like we knew that what NWA was saying was just their opinion. We knew what Luke was saying was just entertainment.
Yeah.
They're taking it to heart and they're dying because of it.
Yeah.
They're running around talking about spinning the block. They're not hearing I spin the block and just be, oh, he just talking shit. They're spinning the block.
Mm.
They're not, you hear this guy talk about his ops and these cats like, well, I got ops too. And they're killing each other. And that's hip hop. It's the lack of balance in hip hop.
Responsibility to me.
That's fucking up the community. Yes, yeah. So I wouldn't say more though.
I agree. I feel like there should be more platforms and more use. Because when we grew up, we had the balance of shit was being said, but then there were voices saying, yeah, but understand how to do that responsibly. Understand how to take your money and do things like this. Understand how to not put so much credence into the lyrics. Like, yes, we're venting, but it's not for you to go out and repeat the process.
Remember when NWA said, bitches ain't shit, but hoes and tricks?
Yep.
Queen Latifah said, who you calling a bitch?
Yes.
Absolutely. UNITY, the balance was there.
Yes.
It's so one dimensional, and I'm not ever gonna take anything away from these young cats doing their music, elevating it to the next level, owning homes, becoming multimillionaires. That's a beautiful thing for y'all. But to what extent does it does to your community what you're saying if it's all one dimensional?
I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, I'm like 50-50 on this, and it depends on the day of the week you ask. So, but today I'm gonna say, here's a question I would ask. If I came to, let's say an artist is a success, right? Let's go with, like, if an artist is a success, how many lives does that artist affect? Like direct, like manager, assistants, how many jobs does he give, right?
Right.
Like,
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, aka the Culture Referee, and I want to ask you: are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go.
So then you're looking at, like, let's say if you give 100 people jobs, which ain't nobody did that since Hammer, right? But if you give it 100 people jobs, but your music is also poisoning 10,000, at that moment it becomes like, what do we want to be known as? So, because I always say hip hop is our number one export, but that shit negative as fuck, bro.
Yeah.
It's negative as fuck, bro. Like, yeah. it's like literally, it's not something that I wanted my kids to be raised listening to. And by the way, when I was a kid, you did have Who You Calling a Bitch. You did have Self-Destruction. You had,
yeah,
you had these
Friends
guys.
And shit by, yes, Houdini. One, yeah, love, one love.
Yeah, now it's, now yeah, the balance music is off. But I don't know if the balance is off because is that I can't blame the industry. I'm going to say is I fought again because it's like all we picking is fast food, bro.
I agree.
Like, fast food feed a lot of people. We know that. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't make a have a toll on our community. So my answer would be today, it would be yes, it has done more damage than it's helped because we only got 2, 3, maybe 4 billionaires out of hip hop. But how many, we got millions of kids that think that that shit is real life and that that's what it's all about, that are being influenced by it. And are using that, basically are rising this artist to the top. But
yeah, you see a lot of these cats, they just get signed and then all of a sudden they're getting murdered.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I think a big part of it too, I just want to add something. We're talking about my era compared to the new era, right?
Yep,
that's two
sure.
totally different things. A lot of these kids that might be watching this right now wasn't even born when I was on TV. So God bless them. But what I'm trying to say is hip hop is such a big influence. It changed R&B, and that's another part of it.
Definitely did.
R&B was always an outlet for love and respect, and you know, maybe let's go half on a baby. So yeah, you're having my baby,
yep.
Jodeci. You had Drew Hill. You had all
Boys
of this other
and,
stuff.
Men,
now
yeah,
the R&B is just as bad.
Absolutely.
As the hip hop. So even if you had negative hip hop, people talking about doing this, people talking about, because N.W.A. said that. Easy said, what about the bitch who got shot?
Yep.
Fucker, you think I give a fuck about a bitch? I ain't a sucker. They said that. Too Short was on his pimp shit. You had that. You know, even Pac said some crazy shit at one point or another. But it was still the other side of the music that was playing was great R&B from Mary and Rihanna and Monica and Escape and all of these great hip hop artists that was out there.
You know
so now you don't have it, because when you go to listen to the R&B, it's bitch, let me fuck you in the ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, where is this shit coming from?
I got a question for all of you. So what do you do, like what's the solution? Especially when, for me, I work with a lot of labels and this is what they're asking the artists to create, this type of music and that to make the money, to meet you, you know, to get your back end, we need you to turn in an album that says X, Y, and Z. How do you change that? How do you get out of this?
Wow. So then the artist is not being an artist. Mm-hmm. Then that artist should, my opinion is that artist should go solo, independent, and say, fuck these fucking labels.
Yeah. Because
you know what the labels are doing? The labels are driving these young black men and women to prison where they have invested their money into the prison industry.
You know what it's like? It's like you wake up every day and you have a choice. I can feed myself poisoning people, or I can try to help the people and I might not get no damn money. Like Jay-Z said, I might rap like Common Sense and make no common sense for me.
Right.
And they make me no
for
money.
For him.
So is it hip hop or is it us? That's really the question.
This is what I said. And to piggyback off of what you both said, he said his era is completely different from this one, right?
Yep.
Night and day, apples and oranges. You always credit LA, Sylvia, people that you came up under. This is the one business that I've said needs a commissioner. Like, really. And I know that's, you know,
for sure,
funny to say.
Hip-hop needs a commissioner.
It needs a commissioner.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It needs a commission. Hip-hop needs a commission, period.
artists used to sit in meetings with people who had the wherewithal to say, this is how you move. This can be quick, but you can have longevity.
Yep.
Now, dude can wake up today, put a record out, go viral, and it's like, well, who's your manager?
Yep.
The homeboy.
Homeboy.
Okay,
right.
Who runs the label? The dope dude that's got the bread.
Yep.
What are you talking about? So there's no tutelage.
Do you think it's a lack of OGs? Like, you know, because this generation, I've seen, they don't respect anybody. Like, you know,
they only respect money.
They don't respect anybody.
They only respect money.
It's hard to say, like, you know, you had people to turn you the right way, you know, like this ain't right, and or I would do X, Y, and Z, and y'all would listen. Like you had LA that you listened to, that you would, you know. But I think there's a lack of OGs or people that this generation would even respect.
I agree. No, you're right.
I agree. They ain't listening.
Yeah.
We're talking it.
Can I tell you what hip hop is? Let me tell you what hip hop is. So R&B was the Cosby Kids, right? Like, it was like the Cosby House. We did things right in this house. Don't you come in my fucking house. I brought you in, this is where I'll take you out. Rap was the R&B Kids' cousins from the hood, right? Like, let them get on the mic. All right, cool. Let them get on the mic. All right. Let them feature on the song. Let's see how it goes. And then all of a sudden, it started becoming like a takeover, right? Now the cousins is in there. They fucking outside. The cousins fucking bringing babies in. The R&B people are like, no, that's not how you do it. And rap is like, let me show you. Rap literally killed R&B because rap's biggest value that it provides is cool, when R&B's biggest value provide was talent. Rap is not about who's the most talented. Rap is about—
not anymore, hell no.
Yeah, hell no. Like, it's not—
there's some trash ass niggas out here, boy. God damn, these niggas.
I'm gonna tell you something
else. Don't make no sense how bad they are. For real. You're right, you gotta have a catchy beat or something.
I'm gonna ask you a question. Let's say right now, today, 2024, we filming Yo MTV Raps.
Right.
How do you interview these people today?
Like, I would just interview them, man. I would meet them where they are. That's what I would do. I'd meet them where they are, ask them about their music, what's their influences, you know, a lot. Because we ain't going to act like we had no whack niggas right now.
Nah,
we had whack niggas
did,
too,
yeah,
all right?
Sure,
so we
sure.
ain't going to act like we didn't have none. But it was never the majority. That's why you see a lot of these cats that elevate themselves above the rest of the fray of hip hop because they're so much more talented than everybody else.
So is it a problem that hip hop is too accessible?
That's a problem.
Well, I'm gonna tell you this.
Shit, podcasting is too accessible.
Everything is too accessible.
I wish they would stop selling podcast equipment.
Yeah, they need to charge $1 million for mics.
How did we say who's the best at that time? Like, right now, in this moment, how do we define who's the best?
To me, it's about impact.
No, I agree. But you know what? You put 50 people in the room and get 50 different answers. Back in the day, we watched your MTV Raps. We watched 106.
Or you had to get in the cypher.
Right.
Like, you heard about the legendary DMX and Jay-Z battle, right? You heard about the Jay-Z
LL battle. You had to show what you got.
You had to show your skills. Like, they don't even get in cypher no more.
Yeah.
It ain't like I'm trying to be nice no more.
Yeah.
It's just like I'm going to go in here and I'm going to ding.
And you know what else killed it? Niggas not jumping on their own remixes.
No, I agree. But
when the nigga had a hot record, Trinidad James, for example, Gold Everything, when he did the remix, he didn't give another verse. I thought giving a remix was an opportunity for you to tell the world, no, I'm more than just that.
Right.
But he literally just talked on the record. Like, I got some OGs on. I'm like, that's what we are now, where artists would rather give up the seat to somebody else. Like, it's just, you know, it's.
What I hate when the world became self-proclaimed.
Remixes aren't even the same. Like, nobody's giving an artist.
Because rappers are literally the remix is same verse as the first version, just Ed raps.
Same music. And same music.
Same lyrics.
They're not even twisting the music around no more.
You got cats that will do something in their set and be like, I'm the greatest, right? And it's so like everybody's seen the Lil Wayne interview. Old boy's like, who the top five rappers? And he's like, Gucci. He's like, Gucci man? Shout out my nigga Gucci. I mean, like, if you say so.
Yeah.
Because
Wayne said that.
Right. We don't have the 106 in parks anymore. We used to watch those shows, your show, 106.
But those shows also told us the numbers.
Absolutely.
Like, when they go to that window on TRL and they look out that window, if they got the whole block, you like, okay, he in his moment right now. He in his bag.
The whole system is corrupt too, bro. Because honestly, there's no hard sales, right? I remember when Get Rich or Die Trying came out. I remember when College Dropout came out. And there was such a buzz about those albums that I couldn't even find it. Like, I'm running around the record stores trying to get College Dropout by Kanye West, and I couldn't find it in another record store. So Hard Sales actually told you that this person is popular as hell, and people are buying into it, and they're buying the music for a reason.
Yep.
Streaming doesn't tell you that. And they still don't even know how to get paid off of streaming. So, such and such got a billion streams, so everybody thinks, oh, hey, nice, but you just got on somebody else's playlist.
That's real.
And then the shit went out. So it's all of this shit is connected.
It's just not urgent.
And this is what the younger generation doesn't understand. We used to line up at record stores at midnight
for
without hearing a song because of who it was. Not because of what the song was.
And not only that, we wanted to be a part of the conversation.
Absolutely.
When everybody's playing Get Rich or Die Trying, you got to have it for yourself now.
Right.
Now, I have it already. When the conversation comes up, I don't even have to be a part of it. I could tap in right now rather than like, damn, I ain't got the album. It's just different.
Yeah.
It's just different.
You always had that physical copy to go back to, right? So what do you do now if you really, really want to hear a certain record by Drake? How do you get it? Is it stored into your phone? And if you don't pay your phone bill, they cut your phone off. That means you don't have the music anymore.
You don't have the music no more. That's real.
That's fucking crazy. So I paid. I'm paying you to stream music to me that has to come through my phone or something else that I have. And if I don't pay the bill, this shit gets cut off and I have no access to my music.
Yeah.
Whereas we had the hard copies. You could never take my music from me because I got it.
Yep.
I paid for it.
Sure. Got it in the CD book.
Yeah. Taking them long ass trips, right?
Like, that's why we're historians of the game too, because we used to do that. Oh, produced by.
Yeah.
You had to read this up. Yeah. It's hip hop. I think that we're still, the verdict is out, but I think women have made it worse. And I don't mean to, no, I'm just being honest. Like, I think, because if you think men don't have substance, these women don't have no substance. Like, it's all about their bodies, how fine they are, what they can do with their vagina, and how much it's worth if you want a piece of it. Like, and don't get me wrong, like, you had rappers talking about bragging on themselves a lot, but there was a balance. There was a Lauryn Hill. There's no Lauryn Hill. There's no other voice. Everything is, fuck you, pay me. That's what female rap is.
That's
so
what
I think.
Not all.
I'm not saying
that. The major artists are talking about.
But what I'm
like
saying is that if you.
Been in the blog,
but hear me out. What I'm
saying.
What's my man name from North Carolina? I'm going to put him in that category.
J. Cole.
J. Cole. I won't put J. Cole in that category.
Yeah, J. Cole, he's just a rapper. Like,
I won't even put A Boogie with a Hoodie in that category. He tours all over the damn world.
We are coming off an era where you can't be a female rapper unless you are twerking and shaking ass and all that. I mean, it became
then again, like I said, there's the Rap Cities out there. There's Lola Brooks is out there. There's 3D Nati, she's out there, she's dope. There's a lot of dope ass female rappers out there that's not talking about the same thing.
Agreed.
So a lot of them, the popular ones.
But they're not popular.
Yeah, the super popular ones are the ones that on some shake your ass, look at my titties shit.
With that to the men.
Nah, men ain't listening to female rap.
Not listening
women
to
are.
Y'all are making them.
We made a couple of records for them.
You're giving them attention.
You made a couple of records for them, you're right. But I'm just saying,
a lot of them.
But if women weren't doing the antics, they wouldn't get the same.
Like, if you, like, just, I just gotta say this.
You think so?
I think so.
You really don't think that women wouldn't get their, women in the past got the same attention?
Well, I'm not saying now. What I'm saying is that we made things as a society more popular, and women that are trying to go about it in a different route are not getting as much attention as
women,
the
though.
Women that
that's
are
all women
the
though.
Antics.
You guys are the biggest buying audience, and it's what you deem acceptable. You're deeming it acceptable.
He got you, like, Stanza. Yo, he got you.
You definitely ain't saying that for us.
What people are saying or what they are doing, women are like, so it's like.
She getting bread.
It is what
she
it
getting
is.
That money. That's all that matters. You get that money,
so,
girl.
So is this like an extension of Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown? Is that what's going on right
if
now?
It is, then where's Lauren?
These are the children?
Where's Lauren?
Of Kim and Foxy?
I think this is dude.
Like, where are they?
Because Nicki, you remember, Nicki was directly off of Kim.
Yep.
And she came out direct off the tree of Lil' Kim. Directly off the tree of Lil' Kim. And then it just kept going. And then there's Cardi, and then there's Megan and Ice Spice and
this was like
all the City Girls, all of them.
A female rapper.
Yeah, it's Uncle Luke rapping.
Right.
Right on.
That's true.
All right. We're gonna change the topic. Our final segment and question is
This was about me. I wanted to ask you this.
Wow.
Because you were a rare New Yorker. Oh, going to the question, and then we can break it out. You go to the question, Stanley. What's the debate?
Who do you think would have a better career if they didn't die? Tupac or Biggie?
It is such an easy answer to that.
And to be honest with you, I want to ask you because you are a rare New Yorker who was closer to Pac.
Yeah, close to Big, both of them.
Yeah, but you was like close to Pac.
Closer to
like,
Pac
yeah.
than I was Big.
For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, that's very easy.
Who?
Pac.
So you think Tupac would have had a better career than Big if they've stayed
overall
alive?
Overall career. You didn't say hip-hop. You didn't say rap. You say career. Pac would have been the biggest fucking movie star in the entire world.
You're right.
Bigger than Will Smith, bigger than Tyrese, bigger than Queen Latifah, bigger than anybody that came from hip-hop into movies. Pac would have been the absolute biggest because he was already there. Let me tell you somebody right now, before I get back to this, who needs to say, fuck hip hop for about a year and jump into movies and television. Drake, because he already has the chops and he's that good. So if you want to escape the Kendrick Lamar slaying that you got, because you did get slayed, nigga, you need to go over to that side. That's my advice to him. But it would have been Pac, because it would have been the movies, it would have been the television shit that he would have done, and it would have been him on the forefront of Black Lives Matter. You would not have been able to shut that motherfucker up if you put Gorilla Glue on his mouth. He would have been all over the place in the forefront of all this police brutality, police killings of black people. Pac would have been right there on the front, and he would have been an international movie star.
So if we only focused on music, who would you say have the better career? Only music.
If they didn't die?
Yeah.
Big, because Big was nasty like
Big,
that, bro.
Big is a better rapper.
Yeah.
Pac was more influential in the culture.
More influential. Pac, Big got you in thinking hip-hop, yeah. right? Hip-hop, right? Yeah. Big made you say, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Pac got to your heart.
Yes.
You know, and that's the difference between them two.
And even as I listen to them now, like Tupac's music, Big to me was just a great rapper. Like, nasty. He can put words together like nobody else in rap history. Like, I think that, to me, he's the most gifted rapper ever, to me.
You don't think Jay is similar in wordplay?
No. I don't think Jay can hold a light to Big with... You got to remember something. Jay was older. Big came first. And Big was light years ahead of him as far as music goes. Now, career-wise, you got to remember, Jay was signed to himself, Big was signed to Puff. It's a little different. Jay had more control over his career.
I'm just saying lyrically. I think
Jay is the greatest rapper of all time, but I'm saying Jay-Z doesn't have a Big Papa. He doesn't have a One More Chance.
You don't got Juicy.
He doesn't have a Juicy.
I mean, you said Jay is the greatest rapper of all time. You know, I don't agree. Because Wayne does.
Wayne has what?
We're going off topic.
Hold on. Thank you, Stanley. Hold on. I'm just saying.
Bang the gavel on the ass.
Bang the gavel. Thank you. Hold on. Who would you say would have a better career? Big or Pac?
Oh, Pac, for sure. I think Pac would have been what Kanye thinks he is. Kanye went off script. Pac never would have gone off script because there was no script.
Okay, so if Kanye is Pac in 2024.
Shit, Kanye ain't nowhere near Pac.
I'm saying. I think
he is kinda. He got that Gemini energy. I ain't gonna lie.
Said, like culturally impactful.
Pac would have said George Bush don't care about black people.
Absolutely.
Pac would have said that.
Pac would have said every president don't care about black people. He'd have said Obama don't give a fuck about black people.
But I think Kanye went off. That's why I said Pac would have remained Pac. He wouldn't have been influenced by different people doing this.
I think if they had to have a career, I'm gonna go Pac too. I want to go Biggie for the sake of argument, but I just feel like there was nothing like Tupac. Like, Tupac, to me, the only thing that felt like him was DMX. I also think that's why X was so big when he came out, because it was like, bald-head nigga wearing a motherfucking a scarf tied around his head, street as fuck, don't give a fuck. So I think that he's showing you, but I don't know, man. Like, I'm going to just give it a Pac. But Big would have... I don't think a lot of people...
I think Big would have had a bigger rap career, because he was more adaptable.
Yes.
To rapping with
and
everybody
else. And he wanted
else.
It more. If rap was his goal. Like, yeah, it felt like just, Pac was like unhappy about a lot of other shit.
And he was
shit.
Doing movies and shit like that. Yeah, because remember, man, Big got on He got on this boning Biggie. That really changed the way a lot of people thought about Big, because he was able to adapt and do that style.
He was able to get on their style.
On their style and kill
and
shit.
And killed them, by the way.
It killed them.
I'm not mad at that. I feel you. I'm
yeah,
just
so
saying.
I think as
and
a
Pac didn't
artist,
kill Bone on Thug Love.
No, he did not.
He just rapped like Pac. Like,
he rapped
Pac
like
was
Pac.
Just a talented brother who rapped, who can act. Biggie was a gifted MC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And I think Pac would have had a better career.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Question.
You got the next one?
No, I agree.
You agree?
Yeah.
So listen, Tupac. Do God rating? Okay, so Ed, I have this thing, and B, I have this thing called the God rating, right? And
I'm looking forward to this, folks.
And on the God, you know, like, so you know how, like, when they do, you know, Madden ratings and M2K, like, who got a 99?
Right.
So I was like, I think it'd be dope if we just had something that we gave 99s to, a list. So here's my God, here's my criteria.
Okay.
We're factoring in lyrics.
Please, somebody remember this criteria.
Hit records.
Lyrics, hits.
Catalog.
Flow.
Yeah. Flow is, you know,
melody,
okay?
Yeah.
Longevity and consistency.
Yeah.
That's my list.
Ooh.
Who would you give a 99 to?
Ooh, Jesus Christ.
I'm going to throw names out there. Could you give me your, you would rank them?
Yeah.
Give me your ranking? All right, cool.
Yeah.
Let's go with Tupac.
Somebody killed him.
Well, the longevity wasn't there. So I have to take some points away. Not his fault, he got somebody killed him. You know, somebody murdered him and just fucked hip hop up all the way. So Pac can't get a 99 because it's not enough. Yeah, didn't have a long enough career. So Pac would probably be in the 97 range. Because his impact was amazing. His flow was amazing. His music was amazing.
He had the hits. He had the catalog.
He had a catalog.
Only he's lacking on his longevity.
Yeah.
And he got better every year.
Yeah.
Consistency.
Yeah. Consistency was there.
So Pac gets a 97. What would you give? What would you give Jay-Z?
Jay-Z gets a straight 99.
That's the only person I can give a 99 to.
He gets, you know why he gets a straight 99? Because if Jay drops something right now, everybody would listen. Everybody would stop and listen. Even if you didn't want to, even some of the younger cats would be like, oh shit, Jay is on. Young Thug just came home, he did a record with Jay-Z.
Exactly.
Gotta hear the shit.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? Gotta hear. Impactful lyrics, flows, immaculate. Catalog is fucking crazy. The dude did a concert and he did all B-sides and he still rocked for like 2 hours.
So, still killed it.
So he killed it.
So Jay, so what would you give Future?
I would say a 97, 98. Because I don't think Future
gets, I would say a 97, 98. Because I don't think Future has the social impact that other people have, right? Because you remember, we for some young cats ain't gonna remember, we was always wearing throwbacks. Throwbacks is the shit. We would go all the way to Philly, to Mitchell and Ness, and get the throwbacks. Cats was driving 4.0 Range Rovers. Jay made him take the plate off the back. But Jay said, and I don't wear jerseys, I'm 30 plus, get a fresh pair of jeans, nigga, button up. Everybody buttoned up their shirts. His impact on alcohol, his impact on clothes, Rockaway line, his impact is crazy. I haven't seen a lot of artists be as successful for as long as he has been successful in business and outside of business and in hip hop and in music.
You giving Jay a 99 based off everything you said.
I got a couple of names I'm giving you. Go ahead.
So if you give Jay a 99 based off everything you
Wayne,
say,
no,
yes.
Wayne?
Every little motherfucker.
Wayne gets a 98 from me.
Wayne, no. Wayne's social impact is crazy.
I got, no, wait,
every little motherfucker running around here right now shaking their dreads is because of little Wayne. Lil Wayne is the father of that from the 2000s. Even though we can look back and say, man, come on, man. LB fan was wearing dreads. Mr. Cheats and them was wearing dreads. All of them kids had dreads. Kara's one had dreads. But they all look to Wayne, bro. Wayne.
So Wayne got some 99. I want to ask you, what do you give Drake and what do you give Kendrick?
Like Drake. I see Drake dressing like
98s.
I saw motherfuckers dressing
so
like
Drake.
I don't see people dressing like Drake. I see Drake dressing like other people.
That's
I
true.
Saw motherfuckers dressing like Wayne. Remember, that's Wayne true. Was wearing them tight ass,
that's true.
Super tight jeggings. The motherfuckers was wearing them shits. Wayne
rockstar
said,
look, when he was wearing like a rockstar,
rockstar
right.
shit. Wayne said, nah, I'm wearing these skateboard joints. And everybody was like, where did he get these shits from? What was it? He had a line, right? Didn't he have a clothing line? Yeah, Wayne is super impactful, bro.
So Wayne is, so I want to make sure. So Wayne is a 99. Wayne is a 99.
And his body of work is ridiculous from when he was 15 years old.
Yeah, Ye. What would you give Ye?
Ye is about a, shit, he's impactful as fuck.
Can I take some points away?
Flow?
Take whatever you want. Shit, I'm taking points.
Can I take some points away?
You can take whatever you want.
Ye don't write all his own shit. I'm taking points.
You know what?
He don't write his own shit. Not all of it. I'm taking points.
But now you got to take points from Drake, too, then.
From Drake?
Drake don't write all his own shit.
Yeah, well, I didn't say Drake was up there. Okay. Well, then that knocked Drake down to a 95.
Okay, cool.
You down there. You got to lose cool points if you don't write your shit. That's what a hip-hop artist does. But Ye's impact, crazy. Body of work, crazy. Think about Ye's body of work from as a producer and an artist. Mm. Just as a producer, his body of work was crazy. You forget the Kerry Hilson shit he did. You forget the Brandy shit he did.
You forget that he gave Jay-Z his
some
sound
of the, yes,
or the blueprint.
Absolutely. Ye's impact in sound as a producer and everything is ridiculous. The shit he gave for Jamie Foxx, the shit he gave for, what's the cat's name out of Chicago? The Lupe shit, Twista, Common. Like, this dude, Jay-Z, like, he would have, if Pac and Big wasn't dead, he'd have did shit with them too. So, yeah, Kanye is, so I'm not, I can't even take a lot of points off him for not writing anything.
So you give
anything.
Kanye a what, 97?
98.
Yeah, he's super on, he's super on other stuff, though. You take lyrics from him, you can take them down, but he's at the top for everything else.
Okay, 98, three quarters. How about that? Because he should be right there, bro.
Yeah.
He really should be right there because he's done everything, and he's done everything crazy. Like, you kids wearing Ye's. Ye's was outselling Jordans. Like, come on,
jump
dog.
Jump over the jump man.
Yeah, Kanye was that dude.
I agree. You said the same thing I'm saying. All right, I want to ask you about a couple of New York rappers. Nas, what's your God rating?
My God rating for Nas Flow, immaculate. Body of work, immaculate. True artistry. He didn't have the impact with everybody wanted to look like him or dress like him. Longevity, he's still doing shit professionally. With the Hit Boy shit and all that, he's still putting out records and people are still listening. So I'm going to give Nas a 98.
Good friend, bro. You giving him.
Just because he didn't have that, everybody wasn't trying to look like Nas or dress like Nas. When you get people to start doing that, like Wayne has done, Kanye has done, Jay-Z has done, that's different.
Yeah. I would give Nas like a 93. I wouldn't give him no higher than that. I just don't think that he's.
Lyrically, he's
incredible.
He ain't bust J-ass.
I think.
He cracked J-ass with E. Eat the 8 J-ass.
Jay got him a takeover.
Takeover was. Ether was nasty work, bro. Ether had. Everything that people were saying in the barbershop is what Ether was, right?
Okay,
there.
We don't have a lot of time. I want to ask you one question, your mind. Can you give us your top five disrespectful battle rap songs?
Damn.
Your top five most disrespectful.
The first one wasn't even a real record, but it was when Kumo D this Busy B. That was so disrespectful.
What happened? You got put us on live.
That was that just, it was on tape. It never came out on record. It was on tape, and Busy B was like the king of all of these contests. Yeah. And then Kumo D just sabotaged the nigga out of nowhere. It was like, listen, Busy B, I don't mean to be bold. Take that ball, Diddy ball bullshit back home. Let me get on down to the nitty grit. Let me tell you a little something why you ain't shit. It went in on the nigga, right? So that was, dude, I heard that when I was a kid. So I was like, ah, this is crazy. So you gotta put no Vaseline in there, right?
Okay, so no Vaseline.
You gotta put no Vaseline. So you said on record.
Disrespectful.
Okay. All right, on record. All right, so let me take Busy B off. So let me put no Vaseline on it.
Okay.
Let me put Hit 'Em Up, as much as I fucking hate that record, right? Because Pac was just being a disrespectful motherfucker on that record, right? Come on, the first two lines was disrespectful.
I ain't got no motherfucking friends. I'm like, yeah, what?
My God, shit was nasty. I hate that record, too. Okay, no Vaseline.
Hit 'Em Up.
Hit 'Em Up. Shit. Takeover was in there.
Ether, you forgot Ether.
Ether.
One more.
You don't have any of the Kendrick Drake stuff in
there. Yeah, that motherfucker right there, bro.
That motherfucker right there, bro.
It's a Negro spiritual now.
Yeah.
It's a Negro spiritual.
You know what's horrible about that song? And it took me some time to think about it. Why that song was so impactful is he did the Drake when Drake had did the Meek.
Yep.
Because when Drake put out Back to Back, Back to Back became a song that you played in the club.
Yep.
Thank God Meek was able to rebound off the shit and come back strong.
Yep.
But Back to Back was like, oh, that shit's in the club. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
But this Not Like Us record, that's something totally different.
Yeah.
And it's a diss record, too. And it's at football games. You see the kids in Africa? Not Like Us! They Not Like Us! They Not Like Us! I was like, oh, my God. God,
I would have came
when Drake is performing and they yelling it at him in the audience. Come on,
I
would have came out. That would have been the first thing I played at my concert. If I was Drake, the first shit I'm playing is Not Like Us. And I'm sitting on.
Why you doing that?
I would do the first thing because you got to do a 50 Cent. You got to laugh the shit off.
Yeah.
You see how 50 was always. Oh, they killed Ja Rule.
He tricked the man off his style. That took a
disrespectful beat in rap history.
That is the most disrespectful beat. Because it's still going.
No. He literally ended careers.
It's still going. It's still going. The nigga hate them so much that he still got his boot on their neck to this day. Anytime you buy the first five rows of somebody's concert, just so niggas can't sit there.
Across the street.
You hate them niggas. Anytime you buy the park, across the street from 40 Project, where Preem Team used to rule, and name that park after yourself, you cannot stand them. I hope Irv get better, but he dissed Irv after Irv had to rule. He hates them niggas.
Don't give a fuck.
No.
You dead.
He had beef with Fat Joe, now him and Fat Joe are damn near best friends. He had beef with Jadakiss, now he loves Jadakiss. They fucking friends. But Ja Rule and them, he hates the niggas with everything in him. And you know Fifth is the most petty motherfucker.
Also Queen shit, also Queen shit. You don't think they can make it go away? You don't think it can be fixed?
Every Queen nigga was like, no.
No, that shit will never. He got shot 9 times behind that beef, bro. It's never going away. He's never going to forget that his life was almost snuffed out because of this beef. He ain't going to never let that shit go. He already said it.
Mm.
People have asked him before. You don't think he's like, for $100 million, I wouldn't do a record with that nigga.
For $100 million, he wouldn't do a record.
He won't
do
50.
What sign is 50 Cent? A cancer? I ain't never known a nigga like him.
Don't get no beef with that nigga.
That nigga is different.
The wrong nigga to be for you.
That nigga is different.
Even Jay and Nas made up, right? But this.
I love it. I wanna do this myself.
Let's go. So
you didn't ask me about 3,000.
That was good. I loved it. I wanted to do this myself. Ask those questions myself.
You didn't ask me about 3,000.
Love it.
3,000
on the guard rate.
This is guard rate.
3,099.
Love it. 3,000 is guard rate.
That nigga, man.
What's his guard rate?
3,099, man. He ain't never fell off. You wait for that nigga to put the flute down right now. Everybody's like. Nigga put the flute. And I love that I understood his artistry on that.
Yeah.
I understand 3,000.
Yeah.
I understand him. He's an artist.
Yeah.
And artists are always looking for a new challenge. As
exactly.
Much as we love when he rap, but he's always looking for the next thing, the next challenge. I got to try this. So he's trying something. But everybody, like, even young people is like this. I mean, this nigga rapped up. His flow is incredible. Yo, 3,000 is up there. He's definitely.
So, what's his number?
He's 99. I'm going to tell you why. You know, he never put out a. Outkast did have a clothing line.
I got you.
And the shit was popular. Yeah, he's a 99. Like, yeah, absolutely. He's a 99. Yeah. Everything, everything. Everything. He had niggas wearing fur pants and all kind of shit.
He had me wearing one of those beads to Banneker High School football game. I remember that shit.
The shit before Nick Cannon ever put one on. Thank you. That's Andre 3000's influence.
Yeah.
Tip is 97.
That's the biggest argument I have to this city. Who's Tip of Future?
Definitely. Tip had it all too. Flow, hits. And he had, and Alku was selling like a motherfucker. He had social impact.
Tip is a bigger star.
Yes.
When you're in a room with Tip, you feel star. But Future.
Movies, television, all that shit.
Recording. Future's been on a run. Future's a better recording.
Longevity wise?
I agree. But you got to look at the whole.
He's been on a crazy run right now.
12, 13 years.
Yeah, he has been. I agree with that. Future's dope.
But you got to look at the whole thing of trap music.
No, I get.
You think you got bigger hits? Tip, like
impact is way bigger. But I'm saying Future's career has been Tip career did this, and then it got to the top, and then he
as a recording artist. Not as just a celebrity star. He's a very good actor, and he's doing his thing right now with the businesses and all of that. That's why Tip gets that nod for me. But Future, if he decides to do other shit, his impact is amazing. Amazing. I like Future shit, son. Fuck the Future. That's my shit right there. That fuck up some comments shit, that's my shit, son. I love that fucking record. I fuck with Future, man. Pick up Future all day.
Let's go.
Thank y'all for having me. This was fun. This was a good time, man. Yeah.
This is our first episode with
a guest. I love the debate, bro. Yeah, let's do it again. Let me know, bro. I could be a recurring guest.
Yo, Dan Tanner, he's cutting it down. He's like, no, nigga. Like, you need that energy. Like, just, no, nigga. He's not.
We almost forgot about Ye. Ain't no way you can forget about Kanye West, man.
Let's go.
And Fifth.
I did. Well, hold on. Last one. Fifth God rating, and then you close out that. What would you get Fifth God rating?
Whoa. For what he did, he's a 99, bro. He's a 99. He's a 99, because he still is so fucking impactful, impactful on television. Maybe not as impactful as he once was as a rap artist, but everything else is there, bro. Everything else is right there.
I got you. That's good. You close out.
All right. Again, thank you so much, Ed, for being here with us today. This was an amazing debate. Please come back and join us.
I would love to.
We had an amazing time with you today. And to our viewers and listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Please like, share, and subscribe to the channel. And this is That's Debatable.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy. But being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.